come over here and see who's looking in my window. It's the baker boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand. If you marry the baker boy, he will come and he will go, and he will always mix the flour in the pan. If you marry the baker boy, he'll have the cannoli in his hand.
Hello there, everyone. Sorry for the delay. Some technical difficulties. But here we are. Trends this week. And what a week it is. It's one week after another. You can't believe this stuff that's going on. You know, about a little over a week ago, there was that terrible, as we began this broadcast, the replay of last week, the terrible terror strike in Brussels. It killed some 35 people, wounded a few hundred. And it was the major news for a long time. And, you know, you had all these celebrities tweeting how terrible it all is and what it all meant and how saddened they all are. And it's very, very unfortunate, of course, you know, that people don't want to see what's causing this. You know, people are going crazy out of their minds as their countries are being destroyed and young people having no future, of course, turn radical, turn crazy. There was another terrible terrorist strike this past Sunday, Easter Sunday, in Christians in Pakistan at a children's park. Kids were on swings, playing on rides, everybody celebrating the day. And some 65 were killed by another mad bomber. 65, 300 to 400 wounded. It made the news, but not like the news in Brussels. So double the amount, basically, about 70 people, actually, were killed in Pakistan, mostly women and children. And, again, some over 300 wounded. They don't count as much to get coverage as when a terrorist strike happens in Europe or America. The hypocrisy of this, and again, they were Christians. Could you imagine, for example, if it was any other religion? And not, well, for Muslims, they wouldn't count either, according to Trump. So that's the hypocrisy playing out on the media. It's only white people count, and particularly the ones that they're in favor of. If it's an American that's killed, or a Israeli or a European, you know, it's big news. But when those dark folks are killed and people of Muslim or other faiths, it doesn't mean much. So the hypocrisy is right there before us. The Brussels event keeps making the news. And by the way, that one of the fellas that they said. And there was, you know, this is why I don't believe anything that they ever report. One of the the fellas that they said the people look out for, the other guy walking next to the two brothers. That was the terrorist suspect. And they said that after he left the airport, he went and bombed the train station. That was the word that they gave us. And now, of course, without making much news, they after they arrested that guy, they found out he had nothing to do with it at all. But yet they left the impression that that was the person. As a matter of fact, one of the Brussels officials had tweeted that this guy's name and said he was jihadist scum. That's a quote, and he turns out to be innocent. But yet they had everyone, you may have remembered that photo, there were three guys pushing their luggage carts in the airport, and they said, look for the one with the white jacket or whatever, a white hat. And it turns out he was innocent. So were the other two people that they accused of it, were they really guilty? Or was it just a setup in the sense that they don't know who did it? Because I don't believe a word they say. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. You remember that Gulf of Tonkin incident, if you're old enough, in Vietnam, that never happened, but the whole nation went to war over it. Remember the Maine. It just keeps going on, one lie after another. And they get away with it. But yet they get the people all riled up, and they believe what they hear. This guy was innocent. They let him go. But yet, you know, it was the manhunt on for him. He was the guy that did it. And the word was that after he left the airport, excuse me, when his bomb didn't explode, he went over and blew up the subway. So there are 2 points to the story. Number one, they're always lying. Number two, they don't know what's going on. It's just go back to the days of when 9/11 happened. All of a sudden, it was Osama bin Laden. There's never been any proof. Oh, they found out right away. They can't stop a guy from jumping over the White House fence. And they come up with this baloney that they know who did what, when, and how they did it because they're so brilliant. Look at all the cases. Another one just this past week in New York. Of all the people sent to jail for life or executed, and they were set up and framed by psychopaths in the police and these so-called prosecutors, sick people setting up innocent people, and they spend their whole lives in jail, and then we're seeing one after another being freed because they lied. So these guys aren't so smart. They got that military arrogance to them and that I know better attitude. We got the guys. We know who they are, and we're going to bring them to justice. And of course, the word bringing to justice in America means slaughtering the person before you bring them to justice. You hear Obama say it, you hear Bush say it. We're going to bring them to justice. So you don't know what they're doing, but they set this up. So I'm mentioning this as well because Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, his website, paulcraigroberts.org, he just did an update on the Boston Marathon bomb case. And from the information being put out, and I'm not taking a position on this, you know what our motto is at the Trends Research Institute and Trends Journal, think for yourself. So you go to his site if you're interested and read all about the Boston Marathon bomb case, and it sees him as fraudulent as blaming that 19-year-old kid that was hiding in a boat that they popped through with bullets And they say he wrote a confession as he was getting shot at. It seems as phony as the lie that they said and the tweet that that Belgian minister tweeted that that guy was guilty and jihadist scum. So, of course, we're never allowed to look at the information. It's always secret. Just like with the 9/11 reports. You know, we're not allowed to read what Bush or Cheney said or the other secretive information. So anyway, when you read this and you see, and you go back, and just it reminds me, I'm mentioning this because just how they did it with the Brussels airport bombing, where they show three guys pushing carts, those are the guilty people. How do they know? Because if the guys blew themselves up, they detonated the bombs, why don't they show that photo rather than three guys pushing carts? Because it's taking them a long time in Brussels to say who was killed because the body parts and the people have been so maimed, but they knew within, 10 minutes who did it. And now again, one guy is found innocent, the one that's alive. Maybe the other two guys got blown up by somebody else who actually detonated the bombs. Well, maybe the bomb wasn't a suicide bomb, and maybe the bomb had been planted there, and it went off at a certain time. We don't know that. And why should I believe anything that they say? Because they constantly lie. Read my lips, no new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Yeah, I smoked, but I didn't inhale. Yeah, now they're coming out with stories that instead Clinton was snorting coke. But again, what do you believe? But I don't believe anything the government says. They have a terrible track record of lying, a proven track record of lying. And going back to the Boston Marathon bombing, what did they show? They showed these two kids walking down the street with backpacks. You could see that anywhere, any place, in any city, in most any country. But those were the two. So anyway, if you're interested in reading more about Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is on the Boston Marathon bomb case, it just came out last evening. I think it's worth reading because the FBI, as they're trying to free this kid that they convicted, this 19-year-old kid, the FBI said it was definitely two big backpacks, black backpacks that these, whoever, where they put the bomb in the pressure cooker. And the video shows, they're saying in this release that photographs that they're not showing was that the 19-year-old kid that's been convicted was carrying a white backpack. And then on other international news, it looks like there's some good news coming out of Yemen that there may be a ceasefire. And the information coming out from the human rights groups is that over 6,000 Yemenis have been killed. Tens of millions are suffering and in need of humanitarian assistance. Some 30,000 were seriously wounded. And the United States has supplied the Saudis with the weapons to slaughter these people. So if you supply, as I've said before, a gun or a bomb to someone that you know is going to commit a violent act, are you an accessory to the crime? So is the United States and all the people that support El Presidente and the Republican and Democratic parties and the military cyber industrial complex, are you therefore an accessory to murder of these poor people, the poorest country in the Middle East, bombed into oblivion by the Saudis with the help of the United States? It's also not only supplying the armaments, but supplying the so-called intelligence to pull this off. So, according to World Health Organization, 6,200 people have been killed, 30,000 wounded. The organization also said that more than 21 million Yemenis, 82% of the population, were in need of humanitarian aid, and that more than 14 million needed urgent health services, including more than 2 million malnourished children and women who are pregnant or lactating. This doesn't make the news. It's not an issue. But boy, oh boy, when a bomb goes off in France or Brussels, oh, we got to stop that terrorism, man. Yeah, we got to do something. You see what they did at the airports? What a freak show. All these dog sniffers out there, all these cops with their AK-47s and their masks on, and enough armament on their body, they could have walked through the Battle of the Bulge unscathed. And they're hunting down us little people, putting fear and terror into our minds and hearts as the United States supports the slaughter of several thousand people, not to mention the millions that they've killed in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, and other places around the world. But not a peep from the prostitutes on this. No coverage at all. Nothing. Not a word. And going back to Pakistan, when you saw that terrible situation with all these poor kids, women and children, blown up by some mad people. And again, the United States has helped destabilize Pakistan, bringing him into the Afghan war, and going back to the times when they were training the Mujahideen, brought to you by Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, to stop the Russians in Afghanistan back in the late 70s and early 80s, coming out of Pakistan and into Afghanistan. And all the United States involvement in Pakistan now. So, of course, the United States is also responsible for the destabilization there, propping up dictators and military governments and launching wars into Afghanistan out of Pakistan. In response to this devastating attack that targeted Christians on Easter Sunday, this was Donald Trump's response. Quote, another radical Islamic attack, this time in Pakistan, targeting Christian women and children. At least 67 dead, 400 injured. I alone can solve. I alone can solve. Is this guy a narcissistic maniac? The same thing when they accuse him of being misogynist. Nobody treats women better than I do. When they talk about Iran, I know what happened in Iran better than anybody. He always knows best. He always qualifies his statements with he knows best. The arrogance. I alone can solve. Nobody else can. He's going to fix everything in a minute. And again, you know, it's one freak show after another. You know, you hear all the liberals out there that are voting for Bernie Sanders. He says virtually nothing when it comes to war. And again, you look at his track record, it's not so glorious. Yeah, he voted against the Iraq war, got people arrested for protesting Bill Clinton's murderous wars against Yugoslavia. But that doesn't really matter. People forgot that one. You know, he got him arrested up in Vermont. And of course, he voted to fund virtually every war that the administration has started and keeps going. But again, those things aren't important. We'll forget about those. Just, I'm going to give you free education. I'm going to give you free health care. And people buy it, and they don't listen to anything else going on. And then again, you look at, you know, and just looking at the track record of all of this, you know, how disgusting it all is. And you look at the Clintons. Hillary Clinton calls herself a progressive. You know, she's progressively helped destroy nations around the world, supporting the dictatorship of Honduras in 2009, the overthrow of the democratically elected government, along with Obama, Syria, Libya, Iraq war. So again, no one's talking peace. Peace is off the agenda. So moving on to some other news, of course, the big news here on the market front, of course, is Janet Yellen's screaming yesterday that the economy is not so good, the Fed chair, yeah, Fed chairwoman. And very interesting when you really, really look and see what they're talking about, how they talk about it, and the lack of details that they really provide. So she came out and basically said that the economy in the United States is not doing so well. Well, no kidding. But you really can't say that, because when people as such as ourselves said that, the we were condemned for it by people like President Obama, who said that anyone that says that the markets aren't doing well, excuse me, that the economy isn't doing well, is peddling fiction. That's a quote. And so in the peddling fiction world, you look at the facts. Corporate profits are plummeting, not only in the United States, around the world. Look at the housing numbers that came out. Existing home sales were down in February 7.1%. New home sales, which is a much smaller part of the total sales picture, when you take out the West, which increased some 37% after dropping some 32% in January, they were actually down about 8%. You look at one piece of data after another. You know, in the United States, because they got rid of our manufacturing, and that only accounts for about 12% of our GDP now, we're a consumer-based society. It's consumer-driven. So now, when you look at consumer spending in February, it increased the grand total of 0.1%, which is no increase at all. And then, of course, in January, the Fed came out, or the Commerce Department, rather, came out and said that consumer spending increased in January 0.5%. And it shows you that the consumer is still strong. Well, they revised that number down. Actually, it increased only 0.1%. Again, no gain at all. So when you look at corporate profits, which were down over 5% in 2015, the largest drop since 2008, worldwide you're seeing, you know, profits, corporate profits falling $23 billion in the third quarter, another $6 billion in the last quarter of 2015. And when you look at soft retail sales and you see places like Kohl's and Macy's and others closing stores, you know that when Obama says that people who say the economy is weak are peddling fiction, it's just another Obama lie. And I have to tell you, he really upsets me, not as a president, as a human being. He lied his way into office back in 2007 and 2008, promising to deliver on hope and change you could believe in, beginning with closing Guantanamo his first day in office, and reneged on virtually every one of his promises. But yet he keeps attacking people like ourselves who look at the real world, not the bubble that they live in, and their multi-million-dollar vacations that he and his family enjoy. And you look at 51% of the people in America making under $30,000 a year. When you look that this, they're keeping interest rates low again yesterday, that was Yellen's big news. They're not going to raise them. And what has the low interest rates and quantitative easing done? It's juiced the financial markets, that's all. Again, only looking at the data and staying with the facts. You're looking at 95% of the wealth gains from 2009 as a result of zero interest rate policy and quantitative easing that have juiced the equity markets has gone to the grand total of the 1%. The 1%, you know, when they held Occupy Wall Street, and of course a lot of people wrote it off as a failure, the greatest accomplishment to me that came from Occupy Wall Street is they identified the 1%. Because if you said that before, you know, you'd be called a socialist. People would laugh at you. What do you mean 1% took 95% of the wealth? And you know the numbers. Oxfam came out, 64 people in the world have more money than half the world's population, more wealth than half the world's population combined. 400 people in the United States are worth more than what? Almost $2.5 trillion. The gap between the rich and the poor is widest in the United States of any of the industrialized nations. But yet Obama comes out when people, as we do at the Trends Research Institute, and write in the Trends Journal about how dire things are and how only the rich are getting richer and everyone else is getting poorer, you get attacked for it. And the attacks never stop. Yellen came out yesterday, the Fed chair, and basically said they're not going to raise interest rates, as opposed to what was going on in the last week, when Federal Reserve presidents from different banks have been making the rounds on the business TV sector, saying that come April, when the Federal Open Market Committee meets in late April, that get ready for a rate increase. Now remember, the Federal Reserve has not raised interest rates before December. The first rate hike in December, a measly 25 basis points. They have not raised rates since 2006. that zero interest rate policy since 2008. So effectively, we still have that. So who does it help and who does it hurt? Well, obviously, it helps the equity markets because they're borrowing money for nothing and they keep their gambling schemes going. And what's with stock buybacks are at record levels already this year, and merger and acquisition activity continues at near record highs because they're borrowing the money for nothing and buying up companies. So that's what keeps it going. Who does it hurt? It hurts you, it hurts me, it hurts every working person because you can't put your money in the bank anymore and get a return, a modest return on your deposits in certificates of deposits or interest rates. They don't pay it anymore. So this is a whole scam, a whole sham to only boost the equity markets and at the cost of we the people. Yet they get away with it. So in putting the dots together on this, it looks like the equity markets are going to continue to rise. And not only in the United States, but overseas, because it'll allow the gambling to keep going. The other reason why they can't raise interest rates and would have a lot of problems doing it is because of the other sector, and that is the emerging markets. The emerging markets emerged into solvency and wealth as a result of the quantitative easing schemes by the Federal Reserve going back to 2008. What they did is they flooded the world with cheap money. Period, paragraph. So now they were able to borrow these emerging markets dollars while their currencies were stronger and pay them back with ease because their currencies were strong. They were borrowing dollars weak. So the banks and the corporations and the countries borrowed trillions of dollars to boost their economies as the Fed was flooding the world with cheap dough. There were estimates that came out as a result of Ron Paul forcing the Fed one-time reporting. It was over $17 trillion that flooded into banks and world markets as a result of the Fed. And that was only up until around like 2012. So, the other reason why I believe they're not raising interest rates, and again, they call it a normalization policy to raise rates. Could you imagine? So if they're calling it normalization to raise rates, not raising it is abnormal. And when you listen to what they say and how they say it, abnormal is the perfect word because you wonder if these people are human beings at all that are doing this. Going back to why they can't raise the rates, back to the emerging markets borrowed all this money in dollars. If the value of the dollar goes up, as their currencies continue to go down, they can't pay it back. That's why they're not, I believe, going to raise interest rates because it would cause a global catastrophe. There's no way that these tens of trillions of dollars borrowed by these emerging markets could pay back the money if their currencies continue to decline and the dollar gets stronger. One other factor. In these emerging markets, they're commodity rich. And of course, you're seeing the decline in oil prices and other commodity prices. So now what they're selling, they're getting less for. So that's one of the reasons I also believe that the Federal Reserve has not and will not, over the long term, raise interest rates. They can't do it. You go back to December when they raised them again, a measly 25 basis points, and look at the stock market declines that happened. In late December to all through January and into February. And they just started bouncing back, and now they're back to equilibrium for the year. Only on the basis of all of this cheap dough. And again, all it's doing, it's the global elite, ruling elite, the central bankers that are enriching their buddies. The debt levels out there, again, you look at them, you're looking in you know, the 20s of trillions of dollars of debt. You go back to China, the perfect example, what they have, their central bank and quantitative easing methods, and look what's going on over there. 20 years ago, they had $500 billion in debt, corporate and government, and now it's over $30 trillion. This money can never be repaid. So, this is the only thing that's keeping this Ponzi scheme alive. The Fed and the other central bankers could care less about we the people. Their only interest is in the equity markets. They've proven it. They don't care about us in our marketplace on Main Street. Because if they did, we'd have higher interest rates. Because we have nowhere to put our money. And again, when you go back to Janet Yellen and what she was saying yesterday, oh, they're concerned because the housing market in America, construction is a big part of the economy. Oh, yeah, she should be concerned, as I said. When you look at existing sales and new home sales, and again on the new home sales, when you take out the West Coast, they were down 7% for existing and about 8% for new home when you take out West Coast sales. And of course that's a fluke, because they were down again. New home sales in the West Coast were down in January about 32%, and now they say they went up 37% in February. So you wipe it out. And she's concerned about a strong dollar. That's the other thing. Because then our manufacturers won't be able to sell our goods overseas. So we should have a weak dollar so things cost us more. Oh, that's brilliant. And again, only 12% of our GDP is based on manufacturing. And considering that we export so little, and again, you go back to two-thirds of our GDP is consumer-based. With a weaker dollar, you're not going to export much more, because here's the fact. As all these people, these pundits are saying, that countries like China and Japan and others are purposely lowering the value of their currency so they could export more, so people could buy their things more cheaply, total global trade is down nearly 14%. That's why you have the commodities issue, where you have commodity prices going down and going down lower. And when you look, for example, at what's going on in the marketplace, as a result of, again, not growth, but hype, has nothing to do with true price discovery. You see the markets in the United States, boom. Yesterday they jumped up 100 points. Today they were up more than 100. And now they're up about 80. You go across Europe. Oh, on the good news, that they're not going to raise interest rates. The markets went up over 1.5% on average across the board in Europe. None of this has to do with true price discovery, just price manipulation. Same thing with oil prices. They had spiked up over 3% for a while today. On the news, that the dollar would get weaker. And gold had a good jump yesterday. It was up over 20 bucks. Now it's down about 10. But we remain bullish on gold. And for the reason being, and again, we don't give financial advice. You think for yourself. We're only putting out the information. It's a very simple formula as we see it. And again, only thinking for yourself and not saying what you should do. Here's the deal. The big criticism against gold, people that hold it, is that it doesn't pay any interest rates. Now, if the dollar goes up, and that means interest rates go up, you're getting a return on your dollars just by holding them. Because if you put the money away, you would get a return. If you invested that money just in the bank, you get more than just holding gold, which isn't going to bring you back anything. Well, now that thinking is dead, because whether it's in the United States and many other developed nations, you get negative interest rates or near negative interest rates, slightly above. Now, go back to what Janet Yellen did yesterday with her dovish comments. Go back to what they're doing in Europe with Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, that added an additional $20 billion worth of euro buying of stock of government bonds and corporate bonds on top of the $60 billion already. So they're printing all this fiat money. They're devaluing, debasing their currencies with their negative, zero, and low interest rate policies. And all of this is anathema to true market price discovery. It has nothing to do with production. It has nothing to do with profits. As I mentioned, corporate profits are down. They're plummeting in different sectors. You have a wipeout, by the way, near wipeout in the mining and oil sectors. You're seeing one company after another going bankrupt or being bought out. So what does it all mean? Well, to us, it means bullish on gold. And here's what we're saying, that gold must remain above that 1,200 mark steadily, 1,280, 1,270, for it to move to $1,400 an ounce. Once it hits $1,400 an ounce and stays steady over that, we're looking at gold in the $2,000 range. That's only our forecast. You think for yourself. But when you think of what's going on out there, it could not be clearer to us. The whole thing is a fraud being perpetrated right in front of our eyes. Central banks run America. The Federal Reserve is now Federal Express. It's a private bank. It's against against the Constitution. I forgot which article it is, but Clause 5, I think it's Article 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution that gives Congress the power to print and regulate the supply of money. That's been taken out of the hands thanks to Woodrow Wilson, the former president of Princeton University, that put the Fed into action. And you know my six words that killed America: Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. Well, Princeton man Woodrow Wilson is the guy that brought the Fed in. So this is an illegal operation, as I see it. This is robbing we the people to enrich the already filthy rich. And again, it's never been like this before in this country. It's worse than it was, according to some studies, than during the Gilded Age. So here we are. They're doing anything they can to prop this up. And then finally, I'd just like to close with some other thoughts on what's going on in the presidential reality show in this election. Again, it looks like Bernie Sanders is gaining strength, but the words keep coming out that he won't be able to win. We'll have to see against Clinton. Will they or will they not have another debate? And again, if Clinton comes in, it's more of the same. And with Trump in there, we've never seen an election like this before. And President Obama, in a speech just the other day on Monday, he urged journalists to cover, quote, the substantive. President Obama delivered a forceful critique on Monday of politicians and journalists who cover them, lamenting the circus-like atmosphere of the presidential campaign and declaring, quote, a job well done is about more than handing someone a microphone, end quote. I'm reading from the New York Times. Obama said the 2016 campaign had become, quote, entirely untethered to reason and facts and analysis. A coarse spectacle that he said was, quote, tarnishing the American brand worldwide. Quote, I was going to call it a carnival atmosphere, but that implies fun, the president said. The number one question I'm getting as I travel around the world or talk to world leaders right now is, what is happening in America about our politics? They care about America, the most powerful nation on earth, functioning effectively, and its government being able to make sound decisions. Wow. I was going to call it a carnival atmosphere, the president said, but that implies fun. And he said they care, foreign people, nations, about America, about it functioning effectively, and its government being able to make sound decisions. Okay, President Obama, show me how it's functioning effectively. Where can we start and where can we finish? The war you started in Libya? Oh, that was really effective, man. Great job. Kill 30,000? Destroy the most prosperous nation in Africa? Oh, that was really effective. I know your Assad has to go line. Effective job there. Only 300,000 Syrians dead. As you keep supporting those moderate rebels, that was really effective. I know your drone strikes. That's really effective. Oh, and again, the economy going on as it is. Yeah, that's really effective. One lie after another as commander-in-chief. One after another. And what he is saying is pure hypocrisy. Quote, when people put their faith into someone who can't possibly deliver his or own promises, that only breeds more cynicism, Mr. Obama said. keep their own promises. You lied your way into office. A disgrace. A traitor to America. I mean, we knew Bush was a jerk. But boy, you played the con man from South Chicago, man, better than anybody I've ever seen in my life. And I got a track record in this business. I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County, just north of New York City. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. I was around con man politicians all my life as a young man. But you beat them all, boy. You topped the cake. One lie after another, from robbing us of our rights, even to the point of taking away habeas corpus, giving the military-industrial complex more and more of our rights to rob us of our rights. And you have the nerve to talk about cynicism and delivering on promises? What a fraud. What a disgrace. Hey, it's the presidential reality show, Mr. Obama. Don't get so tight about it if different carnival acts come along, because that's all it is. It's a freak show. Liars, cowards, freaks, and fools, welcome to the presidential reality show. So that's some of the trends this week, and thank you for tuning in.